Hey there, it's Mathieu.
And this is Federico.
Welcome to The Dart Bullseye,
a podcast on innovators, entrepreneurs, and investors,
aka people familiar with the matter. In fact, we love to chat with brilliant people coming from all walks of life.
Like you who want public with no revenues.
You who launch free stocks in 3 months.
You who want to challenge Amazon e-commerce.
You who dream to send your car to space.
You who invested in knowing during the green bubble.
You going from applied research to entrepreneurship.
Today with me, there is Salvatore Di Dio. Salvatore has a background in engineering, architecture, and energy. He has done research on the role of technology for the future of cities at MIT and co-founded multiple companies in Palermo, Sicily. The design laboratory Push, the service design studio Noi, and the film production company The Pyrenees Experience. He is also the author of From Smart to Lean, a book on lean thinking applied to urban policies for sustainability. Throughout the years, Salvatore focused his research work on sustainable mobility and was accelerated by Google in a program for digital designers and founders. The outcome of this program is Move B Corp, the technology startup that he co-founded in 2020.
I met Salvatore not long ago at the Ultimate Demo Day of the Unternehmertum in Munich. And since the very beginning, we kind of clicked. So here's why Salvatore is again with me talking. Welcome, Salvatore.
Thank you, Mathieu, for having me. It's a pleasure, an honor, and for sure it's going to be a very nice conversation between us.
I have no doubts about it, even if it's a tenth of the excitement that I had the first time we talked. It will be definitely amazing. So we met in the context of the Ultimate Demo Day, and Salvatore was there to pitch the startup that he, together with some co-founders, funded in Palermo, and the startup is called Move. What are you doing at Move exactly?
Well, I'm one of the founder and I'm leading the design and trying to coordinate all the resources. In the near future, I will be involved as a scientific deputy for all the, scientific part of the startup that has a lot of scientific stuff inside because it's spin-off of a research project that we have started, I would say like 8 years ago, but actually the very last one started in 2017. So 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Well, the startup is about sustainable mobility. Our approach, it's behavioral. And so we are trying to set the right conditions for people to change their bad habits and giving them more motivations to change bad habits about mobility. And so basically leave the car in the garage and use other means or eventually share the car. And that's it. We do it through a game. It's entertainment, what we try to sell. And so, but it's a weird way of doing entertainment because what we try to do is to link sustainability and having fun experiences. Just because sustainability shouldn't be boring, shouldn't be hard, nest. Of course, you need to change a little bit. Change always, it's hard for people. And so we try to set the perfect context. We, as like human beings, we love games because they're like super enjoyable experiences. That's how we are trying to do that.
You got the idea of gamifying the sustainable transportation through different iterations, right? Because that wasn't the initial approach that you had.
Yeah. You're completely right. So that's why I said we started 8 years ago or 9 years ago, because it was a long journey and it was quite fun, I have to say. Very hard, I have to say too, but it's how like fun experience work. So my background and Move's founder background is in engineering. And so our first assumption was if you have to change habits, so if you want to work on mobility demand and not mobility offer, you should give something back to them. So if you change, I give you something. And it's very cause effect approach, very engineer approach, and very wrong. That's what we learned so far. People are more complex than that. So we start making, we started with this assumption, and we started with a research putting this as a foundation of the research. And we had the chance to work with students from university, and we try to co-design with them the experience itself. And we understood the real goal of people that wasn't really, I do this, you get this, but was more about the social experience, was more about the competition itself, was more about the statistics, and a lot of different things. And so we turned. And so instead of having like the card where you gather points, you had leaderboards, and you had different way of interacting among the players, the users. So little by little, we were leaving the gamification approach and going to more a game approach. There is a very nice paper that says gamification is bullshit. And I loved it.
Quite a claim.
Yeah, it's very straightforward. But the point is that you shouldn't try to manipulate people. And you shouldn't have that kind of approach that try to turn boring things or hard things into fun things. What we are asked to do is to design good experiences. That's the point. And then if you design good experiences, you design good games, and good games can set the right context for people to better understand their presence in the social environment and in the environment itself. So with the results of the first project, and I tell you this, so we had like different tests. So we developed an app, people tracked themselves, there were leaderboards, there were gifts. Then we start having feedback about this gift thing. Someone loved it, some other wasn't really the main lever for them to be active and move sustainably. And so the very last test, we removed the gifts. No gifts anymore. Just like the glory and the fame and the cheering and stuff like that. And of course, the number of users dropped dramatically. Like we lost the 70% of the users. But that 30% that kept going, they were the most active. And the amount of like actions with the app and kilometers that they recorded was super high. We interviewed them, and we interviewed also those who didn't like play it anymore. And what we understood was that they were like phoning each other, like, I'm going out, I'm going to make points, and I will fuck you. That's basically the kind of experience they were aiming for. We got the results. The improvement of the carbon footprint of in each test was on average 50% in comparison with their previous habits. And it was just a new way of approaching and motivating people to change their habits about mobility. We put, for the first time ever, students on a bus. They never tried because of like cognitive bias they had about public transport.
This is quite surprising for me. I've been using buses basically all my life, but I can imagine that in certain communities it's not so convenient. I was actually wondering, when you say that the carbon footprint improved by 50%, just out of curiosity, because I'm also an engineer by background, so how do you calculate this this improvement?
Yeah, basically, this was my PhD. And so the way we do it, and we still do it, is to basically set a baseline for each user, asking questions. So it's basically a survey. And then we measure how many times they use the app, how many kilometers they track on A to B trips. That's the only way we can measure an improvement. Just recently, this algorithm that we started designing in 2012 was validated by the European and International Organization for Standards. And so we can emit, actually, we can certify carbon credits. This was key to build the general acknowledgement of what you can do with this kind of communication tools. Of course, you cannot heal the city. You cannot really completely win the fight against traffic jams. But it's something. And it should be in the policies, the different measures that you implement in cities. So, of course, you have to improve public transport. For sure, you have to have efficient cars, more bikes, more bike sharing, scooter sharing and stuff, but you have to work with people and you have to really set the right mental environment for them to understand what are their convenience criteria. What we understood that if you want to really impact people's life and impact also the environment positively, you have to work with intrinsic motivations, not extrinsic. And so the CO2 calculation for us was key, and we applied for an accelerator in New York, run by Google, Hyper Island, SVA, and Frog, and a lot of like super cool design agencies and entrepreneur.
When you applied to this accelerator in New York, the PhD was over, I assume, and you had the validation of the algorithm in place. Where were you based back then?
Back then, we were in Palermo. At the very beginning, 2012, I moved for 6 or 7 months to Boston for my PhD at the Sensible City Lab at the MIT, and it was like super awesome for us. Being in Palermo and trying to develop these kind of things, we were like aliens. Going to the MIT for us, I mean, the kind of approach we were using was already boring. So wasn't really, and so they slapped me so much in the face, and that's where we start thinking about how to do that the proper way. So it was amazing for us. Then I was back and we started doing all these iteration to the whole process of design, implementing and testing, design, implementing and testing. So learning. So it was a learning process for us. 2015, it was done. The research was done. We kept going with other in other fields. So the hat we were wearing at the time was PUSH, so our design laboratory, where we do research in the field of design and social innovation. We had this like gold nuggets, you know, the research results that were encouraging, and the idea that we're supposed to design a game and not gamifying mobility. That's why we applied for an accelerator, and it was done for helping designers becoming founders. And so we've been selected. I moved to New York. Actually, I was just married.
Okay, so a very convenient time for moving to New York.
Exactly. So, and my wife just got a job here in Palermo, a very good job in an amazing company. So she didn't move. And so I moved by myself. And we start working in that amazing environment with amazing mentors and with game designers. And we try to reboot the project itself, starting from scratch. And then we involved a bunch of friends we had in all across Europe, and we applied for an Horizon. And we won 14 partners all across Europe, from Helsinki to Lisbon, Amsterdam, Barcelona, Ghent. And we used the same approach we used with the students, but within communities. And so we redesigned everything from scratch again. And then Move was born. And so Move now is a game that was co-designed within a lot of different communities all around the world, different cultures, I have to say. We identified the what we think is the perfect metaphor, that mobility is a sport in any case. And this also helps us in the narrative of the game. So you have different figures. You are the athlete, but you have your trainer, and there are sponsors. And so everything works, and it's an easy to understand metaphor for what we are asked to do. So, of course, you have to do some sacrifice, but then the sports will pay you off. And so we ended the project in May, last May. We incorporated the company for the commercialization. We have a good business model, and that's why we met, basically, Mathieu. because at the end of the horizon, we applied for this kind of accelerator to work on the commercialization skills that we don't have and we have to build. And that's it. That's my story.
It's an amazing story. You described Accelerator in New York, meant for designers in the process of becoming founders. How was it structured, the 6 months of acceleration period? Were you very much focusing on the product, business model, and then pitching to investors?
So it lasts 30 weeks. And so the name of this acceleration program was 30 weeks. If you Google it, you find a lot of information, pregnant women information.
Pregnancy.
Actually, my wife is 30 weeks now.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Or you shouldn't say.
I don't know. I take it. Don't worry. It was structured, I think, in a very interesting way. I really love the approach of Hyper Island. It was in charge of the overall structure of the acceleration program. So we always had, I would say, a foot on the design of the product. And little by little, we were moved the other one in different fields. The first one was business modeling, or user research, and technology innovation. So the acceleration was, I think, very American. Every week, pitch something, and it was so frustrating for me because my previous like presentations were in the academic area, you know, so super long, very boring. And learning how to say everything in 3 minutes, it was really, really a problem to me. Now I think I learned something from that. My way of pitching is is basically what they taught me in New York. Pitching well and trying to deliver the message easily, it's very key. We didn't have investors at the end of the acceleration, but we are still in contact with all of them. Something very cool was that we had a guy working for a venture that was every day with us working, and this taught us to understand their needs. So actually at this moment in Move, we are not really looking for investors because we are lucky enough to have resources for bootstrap this first phase. But it's a job. It's a job going for investors. it's very tiring.
I actually have many founders friends. And fundraising is important, but at the same time, it's time consuming, very intense. And it's also moving the focus from product development and the sales that normally should be the focus of founders.
Yeah, that's also why the accelerator, the European accelerator, for us, it's an opportunity because it makes this way easier, let's say. What I learned is that the VCs loves you if you have clients, if you have people that pays your invoice, and that's the main thing to do. Fortunately, I mean, beside all the mess that COVID-19 brought to this world, we've been lucky enough to start having the first clients, even if mobility, it's not really allowed, I mean, in many, many countries. And we are planning for 2021 to start tournaments, among schools. We have already a sponsor for doing that in Piedmont. And so we will have 32 schools, high schools in Piedmont, that will play a sustainable mobility tournament. And this will be the first one. And then we will move and we will have more clients, sponsors, and users. And this very long journey will end with a successful startup.
When it comes to Horizon, the Horizon program of the European Union, did you benefit from it in terms of connected with possible customers, with understanding the needs and the behavior towards mobility of different groups of European citizens?
Horizon, it's a very large family of like ideas and projects that you can implement and work with. The way we did it, we had a very naive approach, of course. Some friends of ours, they say that we do innovation for desperation, and that's really how I feel. The meaning of doing this is the having the opportunity of making experiments that companies don't have if they are already in the market. But innovation, it's not something you can turn on and turn off. Research is not something you can turn on and turn off. You have to do it every day. We won an Horizon as leaders, and our organization is super tiny. We founded it in 2012, probably because they understood that organizations like ours can improve the quality of applied research. And this is really about applied research. So things that you put outside and they try to improve processes, make things more efficient and stuff like that. Of course, it's not the new Facebook or Instagram. It's a different kind of business. That's also why we choose to be a B Corp since the beginning, because we are doing this for the sake of the company, so the profit of the company, but the profit of society. And I think this should be like key for everyone that is starting a new business, because you can be richer as much as you can, but if the world will fuck down, we will be fucked. That's the point. I mean, we need to have a different approach to our economy, to our consumer behaviors, and we need to start and doing it. That we cannot wait anymore. And there are no other theories we have to come up with. We should just do it. And so I think Europe in this sense, it's the right environment where we can nurture our startup and this different model of approaching the market.
You said it, move ahead from the very beginning, the idea of being a B Corp. Just to clarify, being a B Corp implies that you're not putting profit above everything, but you also make sure that you have a positive impact on society and environment. Is that correct?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. To better the world, we have to start from the most complex environments and situations. So when we started, and it was me, Domenico, Francesco, Roberto, Mauro, and other friends were like doing different careers, but we were starting from the same city, that is Palermo, that it's super beautiful for many things, awful for others. So mafia, corruption, and stuff like that. But if you want to like better the world, actually, cities like Palermo are the majority of cities of the world where most of the people live. So, the Eureka moment for me personally was when I was at the MIT, they were studying Cuba and how they reacted to the oil crisis in the beginning of the 90s. And so if the MIT is studying how Cuba reacted to that, probably Palermo and Sicily in the south of Europe is the right place to start to implement new processes, services, products for a better future, for a more sustainable future. So again, a not-for-profit or a low-profit or a fair-profit model, it's what kept us alive in Palermo, doing this very weird business that it's designing for innovation. Now, move for us, it's like the final proof. if you want to do innovation, you have to invest on research. I mean, it's so easy. Nobody does it. And again, MOVE proved to us and also to people that are looking to us that these things can happen. You should try to invest in context like the one we are implementing.
Yeah, I definitely see the point of being a B Corp and also nurturing innovation through investment in research. I was actually wondering, because you were saying that through MOVE, you aim at improving the attitude of people towards sustainable mobility. But are you also acting with policymakers, with the officers responsible for mobility within the city boundaries?
Of course. So I will very briefly pitch what MOVE is and does. The touch point that people see, there is a mobile app that you download, you create your avatar, and you so you basically are an athlete of mobility. So the approach is very similar to what you can do with Runtastic or Nike Plus. So you record the way you're moving, and we understand how you, I mean, we actually validate if you're cheating or not, but we give you a certain amount of point according to the sustainability of the mobility means chosen, and you start having your career as an athlete. So if you start a soccer career or a basketball career, you start from the very beginning with trainings, and then you level up and you maybe can be selected by a team. And then inside the team, you can have been approached by a sponsor. And so this is the kind of experience we designed. So you have trainings, and the very first trainings are about like take the bus once a week or something like this, very easy task to do. And then you have like different social interactions. The product that we offer is for organizations that want to build teams. And so your company can be a team on MOVE. So we transform companies in like sustainable mobility teams. And they will play internally and then all together for the sake of winning a tournament or a specific challenge against other companies. The data that we gather are offered for home-to-work travel plans. And the same data, of course, with the agreement of the company or the institutions, are released as open data for policymakers, transportation authorities, academic research. The kind of data that apps like ours record, it's very detailed. It's very useful for doing simulations, agent-based simulation, to better understand what moves people. So in our business model, of course, authorities and policymakers are there. They're key actors, but they're not customers. That's what we learned so far. That it's very way hard to involve them. So B2G, it's not on our map. On our map, there is a B2B model and a B2C model. So the B2B is with, as I said, with companies and stuff. And once the number of teams, number of users will grow, we will be able to easily approach sponsors. And that's where the B2C part should start. So we basically build this inventory of like users. And what we will provide to sponsors, of course, are not the mobility data that belong to the person or to the company, or basically the team, but the interactions. And so if the startup tournament, it's funded by the DART, maybe. all the information, of course, it's the business model of like a soccer league or a basketball league. So we basically, we own the game and we try to make it work in a sustainable way. And the point is that we can work on multi-levels, tournaments and challenges in different countries at the same time. So it's very flexible and allow us to scale up. there is something that was very hard at the beginning to design how to make it work. For us at the beginning was more like about the city itself where you play. Now it's more about like people all over the world playing.
It reminds me of fantasy football, for example, but applied to mobility, sustainable mobility.
Exactly. Some of the passions that we have here. And so we try to understand how to apply and to implement it. So basically, you are your Mario Bros. You are Mario Bros. You're moving around the city. You're making your points, but you're also competing with other people and with a team. And so there are, and then of course there are of course gifts, but it's at the end I would say an amazing journey. There is making a tournament. Every week you have a match. And so every week from Monday to Saturday, you will be one of the people on your team making points for the total score.
That reminds me also a bit of Fortnite in terms of event games and so on.
Exactly. So that's why I said, we try to design a good game. Then, of course, we will see if it's good enough. But the point wasn't anymore on the mechanics of the tokens that we were using, but more about the experience you were having. It was very hard at the very beginning to explain also to the Horizon project partners that we were asked to design a game and not something linked to mobility. Mobility was the common layer, so that's the it's your joystick. It's the way you like play. Then the experience can be whatever we want. It could be zombie hunting you.
Talking of, I discovered recently that there is a running app.
I know, that's why I mention it. That's amazing. That's an amazing app, in my opinion. But of course, it has a target. There maybe like people like me or you, I don't know, that are into the zombie thing. So sport for us was way easier, something that everybody understand. And so that's why we build this kind of narrative.
Actually, truth be told, I downloaded the app. I haven't done the first training yet, but I'll better start.
Yeah, you better start.
Okay, so you said that you've been involved with Push since 2012. Then this year, after many years of incubation and product development, you founded Move. What's the next step in your life and career as well?
So now it's time for me to give something back. I just recently got selected for a chair at university for teaching design, and I'm very thrilled to start. But of course, we will. That's something that basically it's a very nice add-on to the activities we are doing, and we always did trainings and like masters and stuff like that because the kind of applied research we are doing in this social context really applies to many different fields. And when we started here in Palermo in 2012, we struggled a lot to have like the local stakeholders involved, but not the international ones. So we've been partner of World Urban Campaign, United Nations, since the very beginning, because of the kind of approach we were trying to use here. And after years, we had like the patronage from the municipality and the other authorities. But we always organize events and we try to give back something that we were learning. We love to do that. We are still doing it. Actually, in the following months, we are organizing an intensive school in Favara. There is another amazing place with a lot of super cool stories to tell. Please, people that are listening, Google Farm Cultural Park. There is a very amazing things that has happened in Favara in the last 10 years. This is something we always did. Now I have the chance to do it properly with like students and courses and stuff. So I'm very, very happy of that. We will keep going with the applied research. with Push. The main goal is, of course, Move for us. As I said, we count on Move for demonstrate that this kind of approach is not only needed, but it's really the only way we can face the future. Things change too rapidly. We cannot leave the global south behind. We have to start from that. We have to understand that. It's way more complicated, but there is an enormous potential. I hope that my presence, our presence, I would say, here at the university in design, will build a new generation of like driven designers with an environmental focus. And this is, for me, is going to be key. Probably I will start to be boring in the next years. Students will hate me, but that's what I will try to bring here. And I have to say that it was so fun during these years. Sky was the limit. And we tried everything. Marketing tools, startup approaches for research projects. We mixed it up so many things that I think at the end we have a very good cocktail to drink.
That's a very nice metaphor. Beautiful cocktail to drink out of a lot of different experiences, formats and tools as well. Since we are approaching the end of today's episode, let's close this beautiful conversation with the usual two institutional questions. What's that moment that paid off all the effort that got you here?
A few days ago, when I was asked to join the university, was one of the moments, because it's like a sort of like, for the first time, a local institution is looking at the work we are doing and they're getting it. That's something that I personally very really appreciate, and all the people that work with me. And before that, I have to say, when we won the Horizon, as a very tiny organization, we were like six people. And competing with large institutions that were doing super cool things, that was the probably one of the best days of my life, because we learned that we were on the right path. We didn't know where it was like going, really. That was very, very important personally to me, and I think also for all the guys involved, the founders and our co-workers. So the Horizon stuff, it was huge.
I can definitely imagine. As you said, when you described it, a huge competition, so many other institutions involved. I can imagine like the sense of satisfaction once you received the notification that you were selected.
Yeah, the point is that we've been always like underdogs, the outsiders, because we when I was in New York, I wasn't really a designer. I was an engineer with a background in architecture and energy. And when I was at the accelerator, we are a kind of startup. We are a startup for sure, but a different kind of one. So we are always like in a very uncomfortable position that probably is the kind of situation that we love, because it's where you are nervous and you are more active. Like running an Horizon as leaders, six people, most of us under 30, it was like very, very intense. Every time we if you are in this business of doing applied research and competitive calls, you really understand how tough it was.
Last question for today. You've been talking about the future, about the importance of acting now and acting in a certain way, in certain areas, with a certain focus. So I think that this question suits you so well. What's the coolest thing that you expect to see in 2040? So 20 years from now.
A different approach to our consumer behavior. And I think it's way the most important thing. We cannot fight climate change without changing our without trying to change capitalism. That's what I think, really. And I know it sounds like weird and old and like Bernie Sanders-y. But it's the I don't really see any other chance. We cannot grow anymore. I mean, the resources are limited. Another interesting thing of living here in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea is that we see that people are coming here not just because there are wars, but it's not possible to live anymore in Africa. It's of course about climate change, but it's also because of opportunities and what cities meant to them, and European cities and like the north of the world cities. So we need to change this. And I, of course, it's super complicated. United Nations, I think, is doing a very huge effort with the SDGs and all the policies for trying to path a way for governments to make different decisions. If you think a few years ago, the Gilets Jaunes in France, it was a climate change measure. I mean, rising up the cost of fuel in France, and it was a revolution. I mean, really, because sustainability should be something that we can afford. And doing this, it's, I think, the challenge of this century. And what I really hope is that in 20 years, we had changed something about our economy, how our economy works, what are the indicators of good and healthy economy when you don't have water, when you don't have oil, and when you don't have food for feeding your children. I mean, the worst part of humanity will show up. That's why we always talk about the context where you can express your better self. Games are perfect because you really set a different world environment. And with the rules that you can set, you can really change things. This should be the same, the kind of approach our governments should do. The core of our business is behavioral change in a way. We can do something with MOVE, of course, but things have to change both sides, from bottom up and from top down. And I hope that in 20 years, the coolest thing that we will see is that we will measure happiness and not domestic growth in that sense. So that's it. Mathieu, I think that's enough.
Yeah, it's enough. I am extremely thankful for having you today, for your words of wisdom. I truly think that you brought up so many relevant topics, relevant not only for founders, investors, but also for citizens and members of communities. So thank you, Toti, for today's conversation.
Thank you, Mathieu. It was really a pleasure. Anytime you want to have a conversation, I will say always this very same Bernie Sanders words. So anytime. Really.
Satisfied with today's guest, Federico?
Absolutely. It was exactly the way we like it here.
Concise, swift, and on target.
Yeah, you know what else is on target? Subscribing to this pod.
Couldn't agree more. Folks, did you like it? Then hit the subscribe button and share it with your friends.
Did you dislike it? Then hit the subscribe button and share it with that colleague you hate.
Either way, follow us, because next time we are going to have...